Hello, everyone. It is Coach MJ. It is so dark in here. But I will tell you, if I open up my window, it will be too bright. That is what happens. So hopefully y'all can see me. I have even made a flip chart for the evening, ladies. I'm so excited. I'm glad that everyone is here tonight, this evening. It is very dark. Let me see if I open a light. Let me see if I open a window. If that light completely is a hot mess. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit better. Not so sure. I hope that everyone is doing well. I know I am. So this is what we are doing tonight. This is Models Made Easy with Coach MJ. I don't know how easy they're going to be, but I am certainly hoping to answer a ton of questions and clarify some stuff for those of you who are just starting to model, and for those of you who are like, what the heck is modeling? And for those of you who are modeling pros. So I am hoping to speak to all of y'all tonight. So this is how I am wanting to set it up. First of all, I am the worst scribe in the entire world. That is, I think that has to be a fact. But anyway, I did make some charts. Some of them you may not be able to read so well. I will read everything, okay? So the first thing we're going to do is talk about what is a model, what is the difference between intentional and unintentional models, and then I'm going to take you through the model line by line and explain what to do with each line, okay? So at the end of each section, okay, at the end of each section, I am going to let y'all post questions in the Q&A and I will answer them. So when I talk about the circumstance line, if you have any questions about the circumstance line, you can ask them and I will answer them, okay? So it'll be very like interactive, okay? There may even be some like chat kind of stuff that we can do. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about is what is the model? So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, if you're like, what? It's, I don't even know what she's talking about. You can find everything that you need in No BS Module 7. That's where every Corinne explains everything in detail. So you're absolutely welcome to be on this call. If you've not listened to that module, that's okay. I'm going to explain everything in detail, and then you're just going to want to go back and listen to that module, and she'll give you a little bit more in depth into what the model really is. So the model is just the kind of the way that we all work through the world, okay? So we all have things that happen to us. Those are our circumstances, and we have thoughts about them. And those thoughts create feelings within us. And then the feelings, we either do or don't do things based on the way that we feel. Those are your actions, and then you create results. And we run models in our heads all the time. We just don't realize it. And what Corinne teaches us and what the model does for us is it allows us to sit and write in the journal. That's where we get our models from. So we write in a journal page, we write a TDL, whatever you call it. We write that stuff down. And then we go back and identify what are the things that are actually happening, our circumstances, and then what are our thoughts about them. And when we write, that's what helps us see, you know, kind of what's going on in our own head. It helps us uncover kind of what's already going on. And then it helps us to get all that out on paper and see kind of what results we are creating in our lives. So we have the unintentional and the intentional model. The unintentional model is what we think already. So for instance, your kids don't do their homework like they're supposed to. That's your circumstance. And I mean, within a split second, you're like, they are acting so crazy. This is so nuts. Why are they behaving that way? Those are all thoughts that just pop into your head. They're unintentional. You did not sit and ponder on it. It's just what came in your head. Those are unintentional thoughts. They just happen. You're like, where the heck did that come from? Oh, heck. You know? So that's the unintentional model. It starts to play out in your head. So you have a circumstance, your kids are yelling, don't want to do stuff. You have a thought, they shouldn't be acting this way. What's wrong with them? Whatever your thought is, then you might get angry. Then maybe you yell at them. Maybe, you know, you slam cabinet doors. You do all the stuff. You're not writing it down, but the model is absolutely playing out in our lives every single day. Then there's times that we have an intentional model. Those are thoughts that you decide to think on purpose. Something happens, you're like, they shouldn't be doing this. This is crazy. And then you catch yourself and you're like, they're just kids. It's okay. They've had a long day. They've been doing a lot lately. It's fine. That is what you're choosing to think. You're like, I don't like that first thought I had. I'm going to change it and think something else. So a lot of times we do that just in our head. You'll catch yourself doing that. And it's just us deciding, choosing to think something different, choosing intentionally to think something different. That is the difference between the unintentional and the intentional. So the unintentional just sort of thoughts that come to us. The intentional is what you decide to think on purpose. Okay. So that is the difference between the unintentional and the intentional. And when we sit down and write it down, we decide what we're going to think on purpose. And when you get your intentional model, if you're doing work inside the membership, you have to try to practice those intentional thoughts that you want to think. Maybe every single time your husband doesn't put his dishes in the sink, you get pissed. And you're pissed because of a thought. He should always put his dishes in the sink. So you do a model on your little piece of paper and you decide that you're going to choose to think, the least I can do is put his dishes in the sink. So the next time he doesn't put his dishes up, that unintentional thought will just come. He should put his dishes away. This makes me so mad. And then you're like, no, it's the least I can do for him. And you decide at that moment that you're going to choose to think something on purpose, something intentionally, something different than your mind automatically wants to go to. And it takes practice. The old thought will keep coming up. You'll keep reminding it what you're going to choose to think instead. And that is how you create new thoughts. Okay. Are there any questions about what is the difference between an unintentional and an intentional model? So Esther, you posted a model in here. I'll look at it at the very end. If we have time to go back and look at models, I'll look at your model. And you may decide after you listen to this whole thing that you're like, hey, maybe I could do it a little bit differently. So in the Q&A, if you have any questions about the difference between the unintentional and the intentional model, you can put it in the Q&A. Jenna says she doesn't understand between the action and the result is. Jenna, I will absolutely. When we get to the actions and the results, you'll see. A TDL is just a journal. It's a thought download. So you can either use a journal prompt and write about something, or you can just sit down and start writing about anything at all. I used to start off with like Dear Diary, and I would like just write stuff. So it's any way that you're writing your thoughts or what's happened to you or what's going on in your life, you just write it on paper. It's a thought download because you're taking all the thoughts from your brain and you're downloading it onto a piece of paper or a computer screen or wherever. Whatever you're writing it on, wherever you're putting it. Can you please discuss what to do when your intentional thought seems so unreal? I am going to discuss that and I will get to it. And if you still have questions after I talk about that, I'll be more than happy to let you know. Teresa, the thoughts and feelings, I'm going to go through every line of the model, so I will get to that. If you redirect the thought to what you want to think, do you still write the model out? So, Ross, that's a good question. You can write it out just for practice, but if you're already in the habit of switching over and you're already practicing that new intentional thought, you may not need to. A lot of times I'll write out my new thought for something if it keeps coming up over and over again, and then I keep forgetting to redirect my brain. But if you're doing it already, then you're in a good spot. Um, Right. So if you do an intentional model long enough, it can become unintentional, basically. But really, it's still the thought that you have chosen to think, right? It's the one that you have intentionally chosen to switch to, but it does become more automatic. It 100% does. It'll just become your go-to thought. Is the circumstance important? Yes, it is. And I'm going to do circumstance in a minute. Is the goal of the model for us to eventually be able to do these instantly without writing them down? I feel like I'm starting to catch myself and redirecting my thinking, but I don't write it down. Right. So sometimes you will just catch your thoughts and like decide that like, I no longer want to think this thought, I'm switching over here. But we have 60,000 about thoughts every single day that go through our brain. And if you sit down and you write, you will find crap. I still find crap. Corinne still writes models down every single day. There's still a lot of thoughts that come in your head all the time that are so good to identify so that you can decide if they're useful and you want to keep them. Because sometimes unintentional thoughts are not always bad. You know, some people, when they look at their husband, almost every time they're like, I love him so much. That's a great unintentional thought, right? You don't want to change that. So, and then sometimes you can choose to have an intentional thought that's not all that great. Like my daughter, who's not my daughter, long story, got married the other week. I was disappointed, and I was having thoughts of like, you know, I really want to be there. I wish I could be there. I should be there right now. I want to be there. And I chose those. Those were intentionally mine. But I didn't let the rest of the model fall apart because I had chosen that thought. But y'all, if y'all will be modeling, I just did models right before I came on this call about all of the crappy thoughts I was having about my abilities to teach this class. It comes up all the time. So there's that. All right. Circumstances. All right, y'all are about to see how my awesome flip chart skills are going here. It's very exciting. Very exciting. We already did the unintentional and the intentional. I forgot I wrote a paper on that. Circumstances. All right. Why do you want to identify exactly your circumstance? So that you can really see what's going on that created your thought. Because every circumstance creates a thought. So the more specific you can get your circumstance, the more you can identify when they're coming up for you again. And a circumstance can either be something that happened or something that was said to you, right? And your circumstance needs to be just the facts, only the facts, okay? If you have like adjectives or feeling words or, you know, things that, you know, aren't like factual words, it is not a circumstance. If you put something in the circumstance line that someone said, it must be exactly what they said in quotation marks. Okay. In quotation marks, it has to be, your circumstance cannot be, my boss thinks I'm doing a crappy job. Right. That's your thought about what he thinks. If he came to you and said, hey, MJ, you really are not doing a great job right now. That would be my circumstance. My boss said, quotation marks, you are not doing a really good job right now. Okay. My husband was mean to me is not a circumstance. You know, my husband said, you're lazy and don't work, I don't see what you do in the house, then you can write, my husband said, quotation marks, exactly what he said. That is what goes in the circumstance line. They must be specific. If you want to have overeating in your circumstance line, not everybody on the planet would agree with that. Because if I ask someone on my 600-pound life what overeating looked like to them, it is probably not the same as what it looks like to you. So if you want to have something like overeating in a circumstance line, it needs to be the things that you ate. Okay. I ate 4 brownies. three pieces of pizza, you know, three cups of ice cream, and a 2-liter of Coke. You want to list all of that out in the circumstance line, because that is exactly what happened. If you want to put, I am overweight, that is not a circumstance. You want to put your exact number, the number that you weigh. Like when I started, I would have put 263 pounds. That would have been my circumstance. I'm overweight, I'm fat, I need to lose weight. All of those things are thoughts that you have, not the actual circumstance. So you want to put the exact number in there. If you had a weight gain does not go, you want to, it does not go in the circumstance line. You want to put, I gained 7 pounds. That's what would go in your circumstance line. And this is another really good one to think about. When you put your circumstance, nobody else should have any questions left about your circumstance. This is the one that really taught me this lesson. I thought at first, when I was learning, my husband left me was a circumstance. It is not, y'all. It is not a circumstance, because people would still have questions. Did he leave to go to the store? Where did he go? Is he on a fishing trip? Are y'all getting a divorce? Are you separated? Did he pass away? There's a lot of questions around that. My husband left me. So it is absolutely not a circumstance. My husband and I are legally separated would be a circumstance. Okay. Or my husband said, I don't want to be married anymore would be a circumstance. But my husband left me still leaves a lot of questions left. So when there are no questions left, that's when you have targeted in on your circumstance. So let's see what notes I put up here. I don't even know why I put the importance of X up there. I don't even know why I put that, y'all. Isn't that crazy? I don't even know. Why do they need to be specific? We talked about that. So you can identify the thought that is coming from the exact thing that is happening. And a lot of times the circumstance is, you can be very specific. I ate 4 Oreos when I was in my kitchen alone. That's a good circumstance, because you were alone, you were in your kitchen, you had 4 Oreos. The next time that happens, you'd be like, wait, I've been here before. Last time I was standing in this kitchen with a bag of Oreos and I was by myself, you start to identify, you're like, huh, maybe I've been here before. You start to recognize, like, that's when you really can start recognizing your patterns, too. I don't know why I put the importance of X. I don't know. I don't know why I put that, y'all. They leave you with no questions. So there can be no questions left at the end. All of your questions have been exhausted. Everything is done. That might be, like, exactly. Like, exactly what you ate, exactly what you weighed, exactly what you lost, exactly what you gained. Everything has to be exactly. Yeah, the importance of the number, the data, right. All right, any other questions about the C? Somebody says, can cravings be a circumstance? Sometimes you'll see Corinne put things like that in the circumstance, but for this point, what might be a craving to me would not be a craving to you. We all feel it in different ways. So it is not a C. What else? Any other C questions? Any other C questions? Okay. All right. Thoughts. Okay. Thoughts are one sentence. Okay. This is what I see a lot. If y'all don't know this, 85-90% of what you write in to ask coaches, ask me. So I see a lot of models. So you want your thoughts to be one sentence, and I will tell you why. A lot of times what I see is people will write in to ask coaches or just models in general. And it'll be like, I can't lose weight because I don't know how to make a realistic plan. Those are two separate thoughts. I can't lose weight is one thought. And I can't make a realistic plan is another thought. And thoughts create feelings. So when you put an and, a but, or a because in your thought line, you are linking together normally two thoughts, and they each get their own model. Okay. Somebody said the other day on a class that I was taking that they're not thinking about thoughts as sentences anymore. They're thinking of them as phrases, which I really do like, you know, because especially if you're seeing that you're trying to link two things together, if you think of it as a phrase more than a sentence, that might help you break it down a little bit more. So another couple of examples, I want to go out with them, but they don't like me. So I want to go out with them is one thought. They don't like me is another thought. Both of those thoughts can give you different feelings, different actions, different results. So you want to model both of those and see if you get something different when you model them. I won't ever find love and I will die alone. Two thoughts. I will never find love. I will die alone. Two completely different thoughts, two different models. She doesn't want me to be successful at weight loss because she thinks we won't be friends anymore when I do. Two separate thoughts. So they get two separate models. The other, and then I did put up here. So it says no ands, buts, or becauses. And then I put exception. This is your exception. This is what someone was asking about earlier. If your intentional thought seems so untrue to you, you're like, hell, I can't believe that. Like, you're wanting me to go from I'm never going to lose my weight to, like, you know, I'm going to reach my goal weight in 18 months, whatever it is, right? Sometimes you cannot believe that intentional thought. It just seems so far away, or it seems so unbelievable to you at the moment. That's when we can use a ladder thought. So that's when you want to include ands, buts, and becauses. Okay. So I can't stand to be around my husband. Right. But I'm going to choose to think something different today. Right. I'm never going to reach my goal weight. Is a thought I'm just believing, and I am choosing to think this instead. So sometimes you have to keep that old thought and qualify it with a little bit something to, like, dip your toe in, right? So you'll hear Corinne do this a lot. I'm not a good friend is a thought I used to believe, but I'm learning to think this. So you want to add those little qualifiers in there so that you can start to dip your toe into maybe believing something different than what you believe right now. If your intentional thought, you're like, it is just so far out. There's just no way I'm going to believe that right now. You can absolutely add an and, a but, or a because in there so that you can start to believe that. You're like, maybe I can start to believe that. Maybe that could be true for me, right? So that is the only time you want to put that in there. It's when you're trying to ladder between your unintentional thought and your intentional thought. A lot of times what I see on the thought line is a feeling. So, you know, I felt mad. I felt angry. I felt like they'll put that on the thought line. That's your feeling. The minute you write that down, you write down a feeling, just go ahead and stick that on the feeling line, because that is what you're feeling. That is your, and then you want to go back and say, what was I thinking? Why was I feeling that way? What was I thinking about this circumstance that made me feel that way? And that's where you'll get your thought. But if you see yourself putting a feelings line, a feeling on the thought line, just move it on down to the feelings line, because that is your feeling. Yeah. So like if you say he really made me mad, mad is your feeling. And you want to go back and ask yourself, what are you thinking? Yeah. And then I wrote for the latter thought, I will never lose this weight is a sentence that I tell myself, but I'm choosing to believe I will figure it out. That's another example of a latter thought that you're going to want to, you know, employ. If you can't believe, you know, if you really cannot believe that you're going to figure it out, then add a little bit of a qualifier in there and bridge that gap if you need to. Any questions about thoughts? Janine said, I'm trying to believe a thought that I learned from you. I'm glad I taught you a thought. I can keep promises to myself. How do I ladder to that? I'm learning to keep promises to myself. I'm becoming a person who can keep promises to herself. Those kind of things. Just, I mean, you know, put some bumper pads on it. Make it gentle so you can ease into it. Does that help? I hope that helps. Any other thought questions? Let's see. Is the thought about what we think about the circumstance or the thought that led to the circumstance? It's the thought that you are thinking about that circumstance. You have a circumstance. You have a thought about that circumstance. If you have a thought before a circumstance, there's another model on top of that one. Because we have like 50 to 60,000 thoughts. There's models all the day long running through our head. So, and that's the other reason. I mean, that's really why that circumstance is so important. So you can really identify the thought of what was going on right then. What thought you had immediately when that circumstance happened. What if a thought seems like it comes from nowhere? A lot of times they do, especially if they're a practice thought. You know, we have habit thoughts, things that we've always thought about ourselves or always thought about certain situations. And they do just kind of come in sometimes. They seem like, but they're just practice thoughts. And you just want to identify them and decide what you want to think instead. And then that is when the practice happens. And you have to decide to think those things on purpose, to practice those new thoughts, and to play out your new model. Exactly how it happens. But sometimes they do feel like they come in fairly quick. That's the other good thing about journaling, y'all. When you journal and you just start writing, a lot of those thoughts that you don't really recognize sometimes, they'll come out on the paper. And you're like, what? Where did that? I didn't know I thought that. That does happen sometimes. Example again for ladder. For I can never lose weight. It's hard for me to identify the circumstance, but I hear the thought constantly as I'm trying so hard. So it could be your circumstance could be no BS membership. It could be your weight right now, your specific weight right now. I can never lose weight could be I am a person who is figuring out weight loss. It doesn't have to have an and or but or whatever in it. But sometimes people do put those in there. That's why I put that up there. But I am becoming a person who is learning a new way to lose weight. I am willing to take a chance on myself to lose this weight. That was the one for me. I'm willing to take a chance. Mine was I'm willing to take one last chance on myself. I don't know how helpful. I guess it was very helpful, but you know, I was like, this is my last shot. So I was like, I'm willing to take one last shot on myself. I'm willing to be all in with this chance that I will lose my weight. Can your thought be, this feels like, I feel like I'm going to fuck up. Well, you could even put, I'm going to fuck up. Because that's really what you're saying. That's your thought, right? If you feel like it's your thought, it's your thought. So that's, I would just take the I feel like part out and put it in the thought line. Does it always have to be a negative thought that we are thinking about a circumstance? Absolutely not. It does not have to be. And that's what I was saying. Like sometimes if you see your husband and like every time you see him, you're like, I love that man. That's not something that we're practicing thinking. It's just something that we think. Or like every time y'all, I mean, I have my grand dog is here, my grand puppy. And every time I see that little booger, I'm like, oh, he's the cutest thing. That's my thought. even as he's eating my socks that I run in, right? I don't have to practice that. That's an unintentional thought that I have that I love and I don't want to change, right? When I wake up in the morning and I get to come to work for no BS, I'm like, whoop. I mean, I have always have good thoughts about that. I don't want to change those. So you, what we're trying to identify is like thoughts that you have that may not be serving you in life, that you're wanting to change. Now, the other part of it is you also want to identify the good thoughts you're having that you want to hang on to. Because normally, if you have a good thought in one area that makes you feel good, you may be able to use it in another place, right? So identify the thoughts that give you a feeling of hopefulness and pride and love and openness and curiosity. Because you can often tweak those thoughts that you know work for you and move them over to something else. So that's what Corinne talks about too. Like sometimes you want to do a model that is good, that is like, this is my circumstance. This is the awesome thought I'm having. This is the great feeling that it's giving me. These are the actions that I'm doing. I'm creating the result that I absolutely want in my life. And you want to hang on to those and you want to identify those and you want to work on those and you want to integrate them anywhere you can. Allison. Yeah, I feel like with all these thoughts, we could do all day doing, spend all day doing models. I mean, you could. I don't have time for that, but we could. What is a good practice for how many models to do, make reasonable progress? Can we do the process in our head? So as you get better at it, there are times that I do them in my head. I do like to write them down. I write at least one unintentional and one intentional model every day. I journal, just like y'all. Or a TDL, whatever you want to call it. And then I fill out a model. And I go back and I look at my, I look through it and see what thoughts I don't like, what aren't serving me, whatever it is. And then I write my intentional model based on that. Let's see. What if a thought seems like it comes from nowhere? Do you identify a circumstance if they seem to come from nowhere? You just want to see what's going on around you. There's something going on around you that is causing you to have that thought. Something. And it could have been, you know, it could have been something from the whole day. My boss said this to me. I had a flat tire. I forgot to pack my lunch. I didn't pack my lunch, whatever. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I've had enough. So you need to identify what was going on. Yeah, but they're coming from somewhere. How do we know which thoughts to model? If a TDL, there is no wrong thought. Brooke Castillo says, all roads lead to Rome. All thoughts lead to your results. All thoughts give you a good model. Now, if you want to go back and look at some of the other thoughts that you've identified, you 100% can. You can do more than one model if you want to. But yeah, you can just pick one and do it. There's no wrong thought to pick. Can you explain the latter a little bit more? I absolutely will. So you have an unintentional thought, something that you're thinking that you no longer want to think. And then you do your models. And then the thought that you've identified that you want to think is so unbelievable to you. It is so unreal. You're like, there's no way I'm going to believe this. Too much. So you just want to bridge the gap between those two models. You have what you think now, what you ultimately want to think. There's a lot of room in between the two, right? So if your thought is, I will never lose my weight, you can, and then your intentional thought is, I'm going to lose all of my weight. And you're like, I can't. It doesn't sound real. I can't tell myself that and believe it. Then, you know, I'm becoming a person who is going to lose all her weight. I'm never going to lose my weight is just a thought I tell myself, but now I'm choosing to think this. Just hear the sentence, but here is my new thought, but I'm choosing to think this instead. Let the old thought come in. Don't be like, what are you still doing here? I thought we wrote down an intentional thought. So you can just recognize it, but I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm thinking this. And then it could also be like easing into what you really want to believe. So I am becoming a person who can lose all of my weight. I'm learning a new way to listen to my body so that I can lose all of my weight. Like, explain to yourself in your thought how you're going to go about reaching the result that you want with a thought that is not on the other end of the spectrum, but it kind of takes what you believe and then it kind of eases you over a little bit. I hope that helped, Laura. Let me know if it does not, and I will continue on. How do you make thoughts stick with you? I'm going to answer this question, but I'm going to close this line because now the sun is coming in. And it's either too dark or too light. Okay. The new thought has to be practiced as many times as the old thought. Isn't that crazy? So if you have a habit thought that you've had for a super long time, I can't remember what book, but it's in a lot of books. It might have been in Everything is Figure Outable, but she talks about a sand dune and you have a marble and you roll the marble down the sand dune. Those are your old thoughts. They make a rut. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's like this big rut that's going down the sand dune. And then you find a new thought that you want to think. And you're like, I'm going to start thinking this new thought. And you roll it down the hill, roll it down the hill. It's going to keep going in that old groove because it's so practiced. It's been practiced for so long, right? So what you have to do is you have to keep rolling it down the new groove that you're trying to create until it becomes as deep as the old groove. So the marble will roll all the way down in the new groove that you want to think. So, and then over time, at first, it's really hard to get it to go down the new line. You have to keep sending it back down and sending it back down. The more you practice it, the deeper the new groove gets, the easier it is for the marble just to go down that path. And every once in a while, it's going to go back down the jack wagon path again, where you didn't want it to go. And then you just like, not a problem. Let's just go back down the new one again. And eventually it gets easier and easier and easier to roll down the new hill that you're wanting it to roll down. So that's how you make thoughts stick with you. Are you saying that we cannot have ladders in our thoughts? Yeah, that's what I was talking about. So you have a thought. And then you have the new thought that you don't really want to believe. Yeah, it seems too far-fetched for you. So you ladder yourself across, right? I'm open to believing I can lose all my weight. You know, my marriage will never work becomes I have decided today that I'm going to work on my marriage, right? That's your ladder thought. That's what you're going to start to practice. You know, you can't go from, you know, my marriage will never work to I have a fabulous marriage. You want a ladder in between. My body won't release weight. I'm working on a way to help my body release weight. I'm working on strategies that will help my body release weight. Those kind of things. No answer because it's in our thought lines. That's right, Joanna. I was talking about when you have a thought, it needs to be one sentence, one phrase. So you don't want, I want to go out with them, but they don't like me, right? I wish I could go because I really want to be their friends. Those are two separate thoughts, right? Another example I used was I won't ever find love and I will die alone. Those are two separate thoughts. So you want to model each of those thoughts. You want to make sure that you have one thought per model. What determines what you model? I often don't know where to start unless with a feeling or a thought. So yeah, you can start with a thought and you can say what was going on that made me think those things. What was going on around me? Like, really question yourself. What was happening? What was going on right then? And then you can come up with your thought. If you have a feeling, if you're angry, say, what thought was I having that made me angry? What was I thinking in that moment? What was I thinking when I was feeling angry? And then you want to, once you identify the thought, what, you know, what caused that thought? You can work up the model like that if you want to. The sand example is from Rules of Normal Eating. See, I knew I read it. I knew it was somewhere. Thank you very much. Can we have a but or and in our intentional model? Yes, if you're going to use an intentional, that's like for the ladders and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely, you can. You absolutely can. But for that unintentional model, that's what I see. And a lot of times I see that people put like those compound sentences in their thought line. And then when they get to their feeling, they're like, am I feeling anxious or am I feeling angry? I don't know. It's because you've got two thoughts there. So when you eliminate that opportunity, it gives you a cleaner model all the way down. So you can see really what's kind of going on. Can we stick to one thought and then change, or maybe like have a board with a post-it with all the new thoughts? Because sometimes I think there are a lot of new thoughts every day. Yeah. And some of them you can just kind of take a mental note of. You can start writing down your new thoughts that you want to think. But a lot of times I just work on like one big thought at a time, you know, that I'm like really focused on. And the rest of them, I'm like, I'll think something kind of jerky or something. And then I'll do my model. And then sometimes just identifying, like just being like, that is like, that's not even true. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm thinking that. And it's just not even true. Because sometimes you can lift your thoughts and be like, delete. That's what Corinne says all the time. Delete. You know, just, it's not even worth my time. I'm just deleting that. The next time I hear it, it's completely gone because I don't want to think that anymore. You can do that for sure. But you can stick with one thought and then work on kind of one thing at a time. But you'll start to identify other thoughts that are coming in. Once you start to really think about what you're thinking about, trying to recognize your thoughts, you absolutely will start seeing more. And you're like, oh, I don't like the way that feels. Wonder what else I could think. You'll start to think that way, which is pretty cool, actually. For the thought of working on keeping promises to myself is a circumstance keeping promises to myself. So you probably have, Janine, your circumstance is probably, I didn't follow my plan, you know, I didn't get up on time, whatever the circumstance was going on. And then you have a thought, I can't keep promises to myself, right? And so then that is when you would insert that into your intentional model. I'm working on keeping promises to myself. Or any time that you like, you know, you might find yourself eating off plan. You're like, see, I can't even keep a promise to myself. Then you're like, no. I'm working on keeping promises to myself. I'm working on the skill of keeping promises to myself. I'm becoming a person who keeps promises to herself. So, yes, I hope that helped. All right. Who's ready for feelings? Feelings. Let's get the feelings party started. Does anybody else have any thoughts, any questions about thoughts? Thought question. Do we start a model by having a thought? Usually you start a model by having a circumstance. So what you'll do is, what I normally do is, like tonight, for instance, I mean, I'll use mine as an example. I came in here like at 5:00 Eastern and I started writing. I was like, I have this class that I'm teaching tonight on the model. Okay. I'm a little bit nervous about teaching this class. I don't know where I put the notebook, but anyway, it kept going on to say, I am not a teacher. I don't know what I'm doing. My flip charts look like ass. Like all the things I was thinking about this class and teaching this class, all of the thoughts that were going on, right? So I wrote down class on the model. That was my C. And I picked one thought out of all the jack wagon thoughts I was having, and I put that in the thought line, right? And I just worked my model that way. But that was my circumstance. I mean, I was just writing about whatever, you know? So Thank y'all. I mean, I was not looking. That's just the latest one I did. That's why it was so fresh in my mind. So I'm a newbie and wondering what is a good way to change my old thoughts when I get on the scale and I don't have the results that I want. Yeah, when you get on the scale and you don't have the results you want, that is when you start saying, this is just data. This is my opportunity where I'm going to get to figure out what I need to level up. This is a great way for me to show myself what it feels like to stick to something. This is when I'm going to show myself what commitment looks like. Like all of those things you can choose to tell yourself. There's tons of thoughts that you can choose to think in that minute when you stand on the scale. I'm going to do the feelings next. I just flipped it over. I'm going to do check your work in just a second. All right. Feelings. All right. Feelings. First of all, for those of you who do not know, feelings are just vibrations in your body. So like for instance, when I was getting on this call, I was nervous. I was a little bit anxious. That was my feeling. Okay. So I actually wore this top on purpose because when I get nervous and anxious, I turn red. Y'all see I'm red? I wore this on purpose so you wouldn't see that. That's a physical thing that happens to me when I am anxious, okay? My back is a little bit sweaty right now. My breathing is a little bit shallow, okay? Those are all things that happen in my body when I have a feeling of anxious, okay? That is what happens to me. That is all a feeling is. It is nothing external. A feeling is inside of you. It is caused by a thought. It's created by a thought that you have. And it is a sensation in your body. Okay? So that is what a feeling actually is. So it's what's going on in your body. And there is actually a great worksheet called Feeling the Feelings worksheet. I'll put that in the notes here for this call, the Feeling the Feelings. I'll make a note because I'll forget. And all it does is you just kind of close your eyes. What am I feeling right now? And you kind of go head to toe. You know, I'm feeling anxious. How does my hair feel? Sometimes you can feel like ringing in your ears. Like that's what a feeling is. It's something that's going on inside your body. It's a vibration inside your body. Okay. So it is one word because each feeling creates different vibrations and each thought creates a different feeling. So it is one word. And a lot of times that's what I was talking about. No ands, buts, and becauses in your unintentional thought line. Because when you have those two separate groups of words, like, for example, I said, I want to go out with them, but they don't like me. You know, I want to go out with them might make you feel like, I don't know, anticipatory or something, but they don't like me might make you feel down in the dumps. It might make you feel unwanted. It may make you feel, you know, whatever, left out, whatever it is. So you want to identify those two thoughts. They're going to give you two completely different feelings. And I think that's where a lot of times people's models get a little bit muddled. So that was why that. And so the feelings is one word. Is feeling fat a feeling? No, I don't think that's a thought that you feel fat. Your feeling would be, you might maybe uncomfortable. That could be like what feeling you are having. All right, next. Why are the feelings important? So this is the coolest thing ever. I'm going to explain to you why I think feelings are so important. A lot of times, if you are going to overeat or you're going to yell at somebody or get mad or whatever, you'll notice the physical sensation in your body first before you even identify the thought. You know, we're talking before about how thoughts come so quickly sometimes. So like, if you know that like around 8 o'clock at night, if you start feeling nervous, that you're that you've modeled and you're like, I deserve a treat, I've had a long day, I need to go get something, whatever your thought is. Okay. A lot of times you won't catch the thought, but it'll be like 8 o'clock and you'll start to feel a little bit anxious. You're like, wait a minute, the last three discovery worksheets I did, I was feeling anxious. Well, it's 8 o'clock now. Wonder what I'm thinking. And you just start to ask yourself. So a lot of times you'll notice the feeling first before you get the thought. And you're like, wait a minute, I know this thought. I know this feeling, anger. What am I thinking? And it'll give you like pause to be like, I don't like this feeling. It's not making me comfortable. What am I thinking? When you notice that you are getting a feeling that sometimes leads you to different actions and results that you don't necessarily like. So that's why it is so important to get a little bit more comfortable with your feelings, what's going on inside your body and what different sensations, different feelings give you. Yeah. So you can, if you have trouble finding your feelings, you can use like Word Hippo on the website, www.wordhippo.com. And there's a lot of feelings. And then they have like a lot of like synonyms and stuff, or antonyms if you need it, if you need an opposite. How about me using a big word? If you need an opposite. If you are still having a hard time identifying the feelings, give yourself two opposite words. Happy or sad, anxious or calm, like pick one and move along to the next thing. Start to really like, instead of getting to the feelings line of the model and being like, I don't know, I can't figure it out, be like, happy or sad, anxious or calm, what you got? You know, pick one and go with it and really start to like ask yourself, what are the feelings? And just start getting used to using some of those words, because some of us are not too comfortable with feeling our feelings. It's not something that we've done a lot. And so giving yourself two separate, you know, opposite kind of choices may help you start to do some of that work. And then check your work. So go back and check your C and your T lines. So check your, you know, ask yourself again, when my husband says, my husband said, in quotation marks, you don't do anything around the house. I thought, how dare he say that to me? And then you put your feeling as hurt. And you're like, wait a minute, how dare did he say that to me? That pisses me off. I think I'm angry. So you want to go back and check, because usually when something happens, a circumstance happens, we have a flood of thoughts, right? And sometimes they give you more than one feeling. You feel all the things at one time. It feels very jumbled. So when you pick a thought to put in your model, you want to go back and say, this happened. I thought this. Is this really what I was feeling? Just gut check yourself to make sure that the feeling that you've identified goes with the thought that you've identified. Because sometimes we do have several thoughts and we may have a couple of different feelings. So you just want to go back and check your work. Is this really the feeling that I am having based on the thought that I was having based on the circumstance? Just because you felt something with your circumstance that you identified doesn't mean that feeling goes with the thought that you're working on. Okay. So yeah, that's feelings. Any questions on feelings? I have some questions on feelings. I don't understand what we're supposed to do with our feelings. We're supposed to feel them. So we're supposed to allow them and be like, nothing has gone wrong here. I mean, like, you can be anxious and still continue on, just like I'm doing right now. I'm nervous, anxious, I'm continuing on, right? I'm allowing those feelings in my body. My back is still sweating. My neck is still red. My breathing is still shallow, and I'm still teaching this class, right? So I also get a feeling of a little bit of anxiousness, nervousness when I really want to eat, when I really want to eat off plan, right? So I know that I don't have to react to that. It's just nothing has gone wrong here. My breathing is just shallow. My neck is red. My back is sweaty, right? Which happens a lot of times whenever I think, oh, I just really want some ice cream today. I know I didn't plan for it, but I taught that class, you know, I did that. So I start to justify in my head, I know that these feelings are just sensations in my body. That's all it is. And nothing has gone wrong. Sometimes you just allow them. You just allow them to be there and you still do the right thing. Can we randomly pick to feel a certain feeling and do the worksheet to get a better idea of how they might feel? Yeah. So what you're going to want to do is what Corinne does, she does this at every camp that we do. I want you to, you can do it for something right now, how you're feeling right now, or you can really get into a meditative state. The last time I felt anxious, really close your eyes and take yourself back to how that felt, how that feeling felt in your body, right? Like the last time you were happy, how did that feel? How does that feel in your body? How does happy feel in your body? Just spend a minute thinking about it, and you can absolutely do that worksheet that way as well. I'm in maintenance. A lot of my TDLs are not food or weight loss related. I write my immediate thought, and by the time I get to the result line, I cannot prove the thought true. Is my result wrong if my thought cannot be? Do I start my model differently? No. And we're going to talk about that in the actions line, about how to make your result line mirror your thought line. And Patty, if you have a specific one that you want us to look at, go over to Ask Coaches and put it in there, and I will look at it and give you some feedback on it. If you ever, find it that way, just let me know. Is the outcome going to be very different if I don't attribute the right feeling? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There's really no wrong way to do a model. And that is the fact. That is the honest fact. I teach students who are needing to learn feelings to start with the most general. Example, happy. That's exactly right. And once they can identify happy consistently, we start learning about fine-tuning words such as glad, excited, joyful. That's exactly right, Judith. That's very good. That's one reason that the extreme ones really work. If you're sitting there with the model and you're like, well, I can't do it, I'm stuck. Like, happy or sad? You know if you're happy, you know if you're one or the other. You may not know, excited versus joyful, but you know happy or sad. So that's a great place to start. This discussion helps me know the difference between thoughts and feelings. I've always felt my feelings, and I think identifying thoughts is harder to distinguish. And you know what? Everybody is so different, because some people are like, I know all my thoughts. I got them all, but I have been stuffing down my feelings with stuff for so long. I struggle with the feelings. So everybody is different on their journey as far as what they have more trouble identifying. Somebody says, I struggle with the feels. Nancy says, general model question. I'll answer that at the end, just so that we can keep going. And if somebody needs to leave or something, then they can. We are going to the actions. Actions, actions. Let's go over here to actions. See, my shirt's stuck to my back, y'all. All right. This is what Corinne has been talking about. Blow it out. Blow it out. It needs to have all of the things on there. Everything. Right? And you even want to ask yourself some questions. Right? So a lot of times we're like the actions for our unintentional model. Overeat, eat off plan. Right? So you want to ask yourself, how was I talking to myself in my head? Was anybody around me? What was I doing to them? Was I quiet? Did I storm out of a room? What exactly did I do? Exactly how did it show up? Same thing with your intentional model. You want every aspect of your life just about covered in that action line. I wrote on here, in your unintentional model, your actions are the path to the results that you don't necessarily want. And in your intentional model, it is the roadmap to get you the results you desire. Okay? So your action, everything comes from your thoughts, y'all, for sure. But once the model plays out, thoughts, feelings, on the actions, how is that showing up? That's what's going to get you the result. So, okay. In your unintentional model, your actions are the path to the results that you don't necessarily want. And in your intentional model, it is the roadmap to get you the results that you desire. So, can the action steps be small? They can absolutely be small. They 100% can be small. Not a problem. Avoid vague actions. So your action should not be, I remember my unicorn thought from my intentional model. No. How? How's that going to happen? What are you going to do? What are the strategies you're going to use? How is all of that going to happen? How is that going to happen? How are those actions going to happen? How are you going to remember to do them? After you close your notebook, what are you going to put in place to remember those things that you identified? What is your strategy? Not just your actions, but the strategy to get there. Like, that is what is so, I mean, I think that is one of the most important things to do. How are you, and I've got some examples, y'all, in a minute, but I want for y'all to really think about them. They are actions, but they are absolutely strategies for how you're going to get where you are wanting to go. So let me see. Avoid, like, ate like an asshat. That is not a good action. I have seen that before. Like, what did you eat? How did you talk to yourself? Did you do a discovery worksheet? All of those things. If you put remind myself of my intentional thought, then how? What are you going to do to keep it in front of your mind? Don't overeat is a good example of a vague action. How? What strategies are you going to use to make sure that happens? So, questions about actions. Actions, actions, actions. Yes, it'll be on replay. Everything that comes out of our mouths are on replay. So anybody else have any questions about actions? If not, I will move on to the results. And then we'll get to some examples. Anyone? All right. Results. Main thing, only you can be in it. If we could control the world, that'd be so awesome, but we can't. Only we can control our own results. Only you can be in it. If you notice that you put others in there, that is you trying to control someone else. You're either trying to control someone else or you're thinking the only way that I can live my best life is if everybody else around me changes, that's not true either. Because if I could do that, I would do that all the time. It should mirror the thought, and I'll show you some examples of that in just a minute. And actions do help you see your results more clearly. 100%. The more actions you put, it's almost like, because you always start off like very broad, and then you bring all your actions in and you're like, oh, there it is. I see my result right there. I think that's a lot of times the biggest issue that people have getting their results line to mirror their thought line is because you don't see what's going on exactly. So you don't really see how you are creating you're resulting in basically your thought. So I think that is one reason that people struggle so hard to get them to mirror. Now, they don't have to be exact, right? They just have to kind of relate back to each other. They sort of mirror one another. Okay. They usually start with the word I, and they can include things like I create, I am or am not, I do or do not, I should or should not. That's how a lot of them start. Not all of them, but a good many of them. All right. Any questions about the result line? And I will go on to the examples. The first example I am going to show you. Oh, you need that again? They usually start with the word I, and it's I. it's things like, this is not the only thing for by any stretch. It can have all kinds of stuff in it, but I create or don't create. I am or am not. I do or do not. And I should or should not. So create, don't create. Am not, do not, should not. Examples. Here we go, ladies. This first example is straight from the Ask Coaches. I got it the other day, and I really wanted to show y'all this because some people have a fear of models because they don't do them right. I'm just not going to do it because I can't even do them right. I'm not even going to try. How can a result start with I should? I'll come up with something in a minute. I'll figure it out for you in a minute. All right. So this is straight out of Ask Coaches. So if this is you, thank you for letting me use your model. Grocery store today. That was her circumstance. She was going to the grocery store today. I'm taking precautions to stay safe. So this is her intentional model. Okay. I'm taking precautions to stay safe. She felt calmer because she was feeling very out of sorts in her unintentional model. Her actions, wear a mask, take Clorox, wear gloves, wash hands. Her result, this is what she put. Buy food on my list, stay on plan. Now, we already know these actions actually come from this thought and feeling. So they need to go in the action line. Right? So this is wrong technically by the standards of the model because these are actions. So this is what I have to ask you. Is she screwed? Sorry, you can't lose weight this week. Hate it for you. You won't stay safe because you did the model wrong. No, that's the beauty of the model. She has a beautiful circumstance. She has taken all of the drama out of it. She is just going to the store. That is all that is happening, right? She has found a thought that serves her and it makes her feel awesome, right? Makes her feel calmer, which is what she was after. So what that she put results, put actions in the results line. Who gives a crap, right? She did the work. And now she can go, just because her result doesn't mirror her thought and she put actions in the result line, all that mess, none of that matters. Because when she hears herself in the grocery store spinning out, she can remind herself, wait a minute, I'm taking all the precautions I need to stay safe right now. Okay? So it does not have to be perfect. She would move this up here and her result would be like, would be, I take care of myself and those around me. I take care of myself in the best way I can right now. I take care of, the things that I need to take care of. Those are some of her results. That's what she's producing. And it doesn't matter that it's not written out exactly right. And every line of the model is not by the book. It doesn't matter. She's still going to get a great result. She's going to the store calmer. And she's showing up like a boss at the store. So that's what I wanted to show you this one from because it does not have to be perfect. She has neutralized the C line. She has identified a thought that serves her. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. All right. Whoops. Oh, it got stuck. Okay. This one is a little bit harder to read. I will read it all to you. Circumstance. Off plan 3 days this week. No hunger scale 4 days this week. Thought, I am out of control. Feeling helpless. Action. I want you to see the action line. Eat off plan. No hunger scale. No discovery worksheet. Little quiz. Negative self-talk. Don't reach out to my accountability partners. Don't journal. Right? That is how your result line shows up. I don't gain control over anything. This is definitely not a person who is in control. I am absolutely out of control, and not just with my eating, but in the way that I'm showing up, talking to myself, showing up for other people around me. I don't get control over anything. But the only way I found that was because I blew out this action line. Okay? So here's the intentional one of this. Same circumstance. Always the same circumstance in both models. Intentional and unintentional model, same circumstance. Ate off plan 3 days this week, no hunger scale 4 days. Thought, I'm going to start right where I am. Okay? Feeling is open. I want y'all to see my action line. I'm going to tell y'all, this is one of my models, by the way. This is my own personal model from 2 weeks ago. Commitment to one thing, water. Somebody's asking about something small, commitment to water. That's it. Write realistic plan. Write 3 things I'm doing right. Keep water with me. 24 ounces by 10 a.m., 24 ounces by 1 p.m., 24 ounces by 6 p.m. Okay? And then I'm going to set a reminder on my phone. That's how I'm going to do all that stuff that I put in there. I want you to see all of the things I'm going to do. All I'm trying to do is water. But all of this is going to happen to make sure that that happens. That's what my commitment is. Right? And then I didn't have any more room on this piece of paper to have right result over here. Meet myself where I am with an open mind. And a badass plan, might I add. So that is the model. That is the model in a nutshell. Fun with mom. Did y'all ever watch The Big Bang Theory? When I was doing this and I was writing that very first page, I said, I felt like Sheldon Cooper, Fun with Flags. I was like, you know, models made easy. So I'll go back and answer these few questions. If y'all need to go, you can. This will all be on the replay, but I will answer these questions. So Esther, after watching this class, I want you to go back and redo this model because first of all, your circumstance is I have been creating elaborate meals because I think I need tasty food to succeed. So you've been creating elaborate meals as a thought because what is elaborate to me may not be elaborate to you. Okay. And then, I think I need tasty foods to succeed is another thought. Okay. So I want you to go back and because your circumstance is probably just dinner, right? Dinner. So I want you to go back and then post it and ask coaches, Esther, on the website. General modeling question. How many models do you have running at one time? Honestly, models that you don't even think. We have 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day and every thought is running a model, but they're all like, in the background that we don't ever pull out, right? Once you identify a thought you want to address, you write the same model and focus on changing that one thought for a while until you're ready to add another one? Or are you running several models at all times? I think I've sort of answered this question. Yeah, and a lot of times it is just identifying the thought that doesn't serve you. And then you're like, I mean, and honestly, y'all talk about my sticky notes. All of these are thoughts that I practice, that in all situations, you know, you did not come this far to only come this far. I have that written down here, right? That's an intentional thought that I'm practicing all the time. So all of the, like, those little mantras and stuff that y'all like so much, those are absolutely thoughts that you can insert in intentional models. If they speak to you and they make you feel a certain way and they work, you can absolutely use all of those things. You know, my body and mind is the vehicle to my future self. I love that one. So all of that stuff, I have one up here that says, don't commit to the weight loss, commit to the process. So you could put, I'm not committed to weight loss, I'm committed to this process. That might serve you as an intentional thought. And a lot of times I just look at these that I have in front of me all the time. And I just think like, yeah, this works for, it works in so many areas. Like as a parent, you didn't come this far to only come this far. As a coach, as a student, you can insert those thoughts anywhere that serve you. After writing the circumstance, I go right to the action, either intentional or unintentional actions. I struggle with the model until I started working it from the bottom up. Do you do this sometimes to get the model moving? Absolutely, I do. I'm completely intimidated by the model. Well, that is your thought. So you need to figure out, how does that make you feel? Probably it makes you show up as not doing a model. I hope you feel a little bit better after I showed you that one model. It's not always perfect. It doesn't matter. Honestly, y'all, the biggest thing that the model did for me, I'll tell you this right off, forget the thoughts, forget unintentional intent, all the crap. When I figured out what my actual circumstance was, what was really going on, because, you know, I had all the stories where my circumstance, my husband did this and he treated me this way, my kids don't know how to behave, da da da. Those were all facts to me. All of that was truth. All of it was like, that was the gospel, right? When I figured out what was actually my circumstance, right? And then everything else I thought was the bullshit I was thinking about it. I was like, oh my God. When you break it down and you separate out, that's the beauty of the model. When you can take a step back and say, this is what is actually going on, and I am creating everything else that's going on. That's what gives you all of the power. Because when it's your husband doing this, and when it's your kids doing this, and when it's your mother-in-law saying this, and when it's your boss telling you this, they all have to change for you to have a life you want. But when you decide, it's all me. It's always been me. These things happen, and I think these things. You're like, do you get every ounce of your power back? Every ounce of it. And that is like, that is the best thing about the model. Yes, Kristen, when I see unintentional and intentional, I get confused. Unintentional is what is already running through your brain. That is like, you know, you see somebody with a bad toupee and you think, oh gosh, his wife let him walk out of the house like that. That's unintentional. It just pops in your head, right? The intentional thought is, you're like, that's not nice. I should think something else. And then you decide, you know what? I bet he thinks he looks great. You know what? That might be all he has. That is you switching from your unintentional thought to your intentional thought. Okay? Because we switch all the time like that. We're like, oh, that wasn't nice. Usually, though, in the South, when we have a bad thought, our intentional thought is, bless his heart. That's usually what we switch to. So you're not getting the difference between results and actions. The actions is what you are doing and you're not doing, right? Discovery worksheets. Water, 64 ounces of water a day, all the things, whatever action you're taking, speak kindly to myself. If you're angry, slam doors, stomp my foot, yell at my husband. All those are actions. Those are things that you are doing. Your result is what is happening because you're doing those things, right? So if you, like in this result, I do wish it was all on one paper. Well, the unintentional is. Okay. Your result is, it mirrors your thought. It's not the exact same. My thought is, I'm out of control. My result is, I don't gain control over anything because of these actions that I'm taking. These are the things I'm doing or not doing. Like, no discovery worksheets, no hunger scale, all the things. That is your actions. The result is hard for me on the intentional. How do I predict your future? The future. You're not predicting the future. You're predicting the now, right? So like right now, well, I mean, you might be predicting the future, but like, it's not like 6 months from now, right? So off plan. And then this same thing happens. The same thing I'm saying in this intentional model, the same thing is still going on. This has not changed. This is still what I'm doing, right? So the next time I notice that I'm doing all of these things, or right now while I'm still doing it, right this minute, you know, right this minute, I'm still like, I was still continuing on this path of doing all of these things. And I was having the thought that I'm out of control. I decided today I'm going to start right where I am. right? When I think back about all of these jack wagon eating I'm doing, I feel open to trying something different, okay? And this is what I'm committing to today, to create this result today, right now. I'm going to meet myself where I am with an open mind right this minute. That's what I'm doing today when I write that model. Sometimes it can be my kids didn't finish their homework, whatever, all the things going on. And you know that those sets of circumstances are going to happen again. What are you going to do the next time those things happen? How did you handle the situation? How did you handle the dog still in the water and the kids not finishing their homework, whatever, today? And you know that stuff's going to come back up and you're going to have those same thoughts that you had tonight. What's going to happen next time when that whole thing happens again? If I send models in to ask coaches for feedback, should I send one at a time or more at once? My action and results where I get hung up. So this is what I want you to do. If you do send one to ask coaches, a lot of times what I see is like circumstance one, circumstance two, thought one, thought two, like in a line, keep them together. If you want to send more than one, that's fine. But like CTFAR unintentional, CTFAR intentional, the same two together, right? Or like somebody would say, here's my three unintentional models and here's my three intentional models. Like, just group them together so we can see them. But other than that, that's completely fine. You can send as many as you want. We are here for you. The replay will be available on the private member podcast as well as on the website under video replays within usually 24 hours. The model has helped me eliminate so much drama in my life. Yes. Listen, anonymous attendee, I cannot at this point think of a should model. Off the top of my head, I will come up with one right into Ask Coaches tomorrow and say, I'm the one that wanted a should model and I will give you one. How's that for a thing? So if y'all have any other questions, y'all know all you have to do is go into Ask Coaches. We're always there. We are always there. Okay. For anything y'all need. That's what we're here for. A life coach in your pocket. Who could beat that? So y'all have a great night. I'm going to go take off my sticky sweaty shirt. Y'all have a good night. And I hope y'all got a lot out of this class. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited. All right. Bye, y'all.